Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words of life. We thank you that Jesus came to instruct us and to teach us, not always telling the people what they wanted to hear, but telling them what they needed to hear. So this morning, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I love looking at the interactions Jesus had with the people in John. What I love is that Jesus gives people what they need, not always what they're looking for. Sometimes he heals them and offers them words of life. At other times, he rebuked them when they came with the wrong motive. Sometimes people came for comfort, but he made them even more uncomfortable with the truth. No matter the situation, Jesus always spoke the truth and offered them grace. This morning we are going to look at a passage that is very similar to one that we looked at a while back, but there's a glaring difference. The audience then was a woman at the well who took what Jesus was offering her, the water of eternal life. And we saw that she was so transformed by that interaction that she literally went and told her whole town about Jesus. Today we're going to be looking at a very similar story. But in this case, the audience isn't receptive. They came to Jesus with the wrong motive, seeking the wrong thing. But as always, Jesus spoke the truth, whether they wanted to hear it or not. But before we get to the story, let me start off with a question. And this is it. What do you want most in life? What are you chasing? What are you after? What is it that you don't think that you can live without? Now, if you're like me, you're probably thinking about some idealistic things. Things that you want your life to be about. Those things that are the most important thing to you. What is the first thing that you think about in the morning? What's the thing that you Google the most? What do you worry about the most? What do you talk to other people about the most? What do you read about the most? What can you just not get off of your mind? What is the thing that your friends, your spouse, your family say that is the most important thing to you? What do you want most in life? You know, I don't really like that question. Because when I answer it honestly, it reveals things in me that I don't like. When I first read that question, my gut reaction is Jesus. The most important thing to me is my relationship with Jesus. That's what I want to be, the most important thing. But if you were like me, there are other things that compete for that number one spot. If I'm honest, there are times when Jesus isn't the most important thing in my life. I'll say he is. But by my actions, my thoughts, and what I do sometimes show that something has overtaken that role. What's that for you? Is it your job, the next promotion, the relationship you're in or the one you want? I'm not saying that those things are bad, but they aren't ultimate things. And any time a good thing becomes an ultimate thing, ultimately, it becomes dangerous. The reality is that all people, whether they are Christians or whether they aren't, worship something. Everybody worships something. Even the self-proclaimed atheist worships something. Sometimes I think we misunderstand what worship is. We may think it is something we do here on a Sunday morning, but worship is so much more than that. Worship simply means to give worth to something or something in our lives. In fact, our whole life is about worshiping something. We just get to choose what. And that is what this passage of Scripture this morning is all about. In this passage that Devin read for us is an interesting story. It takes place the day after Jesus fed thousands and thousands of people. He did so with just a few loaves and a couple of fish, which was an incredible miracle. And now the people who saw that miracle, those people that ate their fill of that food, want more. Rather than go home, rather than returning to their jobs, they chased Jesus down. They would have had to run or walk at least 16 kilometers to the other side of the lake to find him. And when they finally found him, they asked him how he got there so fast when it took them all night. Jesus ignored that question. The truth is, as you know, that he cheated by walking across the water. And instead of responding to the question on their lips, he responded to the real question within their hearts. Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and the fish and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For in him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." I think it's necessary for us to understand something here. We live in a culture where very few people are actually starving. Almost everyone has access to food in some way, including from the food banks, and thank God for them. But the majority of the people in Canada have access to more food than we could ever possibly want. But that is not true for much of the world. And it was certainly not true for the people that were following Jesus. The truth was that food was scarce. So back then, when you found a source of food, you followed it, because life was found in food. We might not fully grasp that because we have so much, but this was a big deal for them. And Jesus, well, just because he's Jesus, knew what they were after. They wanted another free meal. They wanted another magic trick. They followed Jesus not because of who he was. Rather, they only followed him because of what he could do for them. They were after bread to sustain their temporary life. But Jesus was trying so hard to give them eternal life. They just wanted bread. That's all they could think about. They didn't want Jesus. He was just a means to an end. He was a way that they could get what they were truly after. That was then, and that was them. But what about us? What is the bread in our lives? What is it that we are truly seeking? Maybe for some of us that desire is money. Maybe it's our health, our relationships. Maybe it's power. Maybe it's a promotion. We all have some kind of bread that we're seeking after. And the question that we should all ask ourselves is, what is most important in our lives? Jesus tells us what we should be striving for. And he uses bread as an illustration, the thing that was most important to them that day. So as I read the rest of this passage, maybe think about what the bread is in your life, the thing that is most important to you. Hopefully, it is Jesus. Or maybe there are some other things that are competing for first place in your life. The crowd said to Jesus, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What works do you perform?" Okay, wait a minute. Didn't Jesus literally just do that? Not even 24 hours ago, they ate their fill of bread and fish. But here they reveal their true colors. They're trying to trick Jesus into doing it again. They want another free meal. But again, let's put ourselves there. What's our bread? What's that thing that we pray for and try to trick God into giving us? You know, "God, if you just give me this, whatever it is, then I'll never miss church again. I'll give 20% of my money into the offering." Okay, maybe 10. Okay, 5. You know, what is that bread for you? Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, It was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the true bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, Sir, give us this bread always. Jesus points out to them that they are after the wrong thing. What they want is temporary, but what they should be seeking after is eternal. What we are going to see in their response and throughout the rest of this interaction is a huge disconnect. They want physical, literal bread. And Jesus' response is clear. His lesson is clear. Look beyond the flesh. But they don't get it. They can't get past their immediate wants. Jesus was telling them that he came to give them eternal life, bread that will not spoil. But they kept saying, that's great. But the bread yesterday was pretty good. Can we have some more? Let's be honest. I think we can all see ourselves in that a little bit, right? I know I can. That's me sometimes. God has so much for me, but I can't get past this need that I think that I have. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. He said, I am that eternal bread. If you follow me, you will be truly satisfied. Now, don't miss this. Jesus is not saying, follow me and I will give you all your desires. Jesus is not saying to follow him and that you will have all the bread you want in life, all the things that you could ever want. Rather, he is saying that if we will follow him, he will be our bread. He will give to us that which truly satisfies and eternal life as well. But the crowd didn't get it. Hopefully, we do. Later on, we are told that the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. In other words, they grumbled because they didn't get what they wanted. Yesterday, they were willing to inaugurate Jesus as king because he would give them what they needed. But today, when Jesus asks for their allegiance, they reject him. Let's make this personal. If Jesus doesn't give us what it is that we want, those things that we desire, will we still follow him? You know, Jesus is after you. He wants you. He doesn't want you to follow him just because of what you can get from him. He wants you to follow him just because of him. I've been married now for 31 years. And when I started dating Penny back when I was five or six, I guess. She never once demanded that I pay for things or buy her presents. I mean, she never said no if I did, but she never forced me to. And before we got married, she didn't demand that I buy her a very expensive ring. But could you imagine how I would have felt if our relationship was based on me giving her gifts and expensive things? What if she demanded that I buy her things, and if I didn't, then she would leave me? How would I feel? How would you feel if your spouse, your boyfriend or girlfriend, came to you and said that unless you give them X, Y, and Z, then they were leaving? You see, that's what some people do with God. He wants to be in a relationship with us. And some people say, all right, we can be in a relationship, but you need to do some things for me. And if you don't, I'm going to walk away. You see how backwards that is? That kind of attitude destroys relationships. Following Jesus doesn't mean that we will never get our bread. He might very well give us some of what we enjoy, but that shouldn't be why we choose to follow him. We should follow him because we love him and just because we want to be with him. Do you see what Jesus is getting at? The crowd doesn't want him. They only want what he can give them. Jesus is trying to show them that they are missing the point. He is trying to tell them that this bread that they want is nothing. Absolutely nothing in comparison to the abundant and eternal bread that he has for them. The sheer joy of living in his presence, both in this life and in the next. This crowd was settling for something much less than what Jesus had for them. And we do the same sometimes, don't you think? Many of us settle. We settle for something so much less than what Jesus has for us. Why? I think it's because we can't get past the things of this world. The things that we think are the most important things, even more important to us than our relationship with Jesus. We all worship something. The crowd worshiped. They pursued. They followed what was most important to them, and it wasn't Jesus. The reality is if you worship something other than Jesus, it will only leave you empty. Whatever that thing is for you, it will leave you wanting more. David Foster Wallace was an award-winning novelist. He was known around the world for his boundary-pushing storytelling. A few years before the end of his life, he gave a now-famous commencement speech at Kenyon College. He said to that graduating class, "Everybody worships. The only choice we get is what to worship. And the compelling reason for maybe choosing some sort of God or spiritual type thing to worship is that pretty much anything else you worship will eat you alive." He went on to say, "If you worship money and things, if they are where you tap real meaning in life, then you will never have enough, never feel you have enough. Worship your own body and beauty and you will always feel ugly. And when time and age start showing, you will die a million deaths before your loved ones finally plant you. Worship power, and you will end up feeling weak and afraid. And you will need even more power over others to numb you to your own fear. Worship your intellect. Being seen as smart, you will end up feeling stupid, a fraud, always on the verge of being found out." Wallace wasn't a Christian by his own account, but he understood that everyone worships, everyone trusts in something, everyone bases their lives on something that requires faith. It's unfortunate that he didn't find the true bread of life, Jesus Christ, to worship, because a couple of years after giving that speech, Wallace killed himself. Why? According to his suicide note, his life was meaningless because those things that he worshipped devoured him. This non-religious man's parting words to us are haunting. Something will eat you alive. Because even though you might never call it worship, you can be absolutely sure you are worshiping and you are seeking something or someone. And Jesus says, "Unless you are worshiping me, unless I am at the very center of your life, unless you are trying to get your spiritual thirst quenched through me and not through these other things, unless you see that the solution must come from the inside, then whatever you worship will abandon you in the end." I think we all know that's true, don't we? We just don't want to believe it at times. Look at the ultra-rich, the celebrities, the powerful, the people that have what, if we're honest, what we want. And yet, they're miserable. But then some of us spend time with the orphans in Haiti who have nothing except Jesus. They sing about Jesus. They have prayer and Bible studies in the orphanage. They attend church almost every week when there aren't demonstrations. And they are some of the most joyful people that I know, all because they have been satisfied with the true bread of heaven. They aren't just being raised in church. They're being raised in Christ. If we are striving for anything other than Jesus, it will let us down. If you get whatever it is that you're after, it will be unable to deliver what is promised. That's what Jesus is saying. That's why he's using the analogy of bread. Think of the absolute best meal that you have ever eaten. Have you ever eaten since then? Why? because it wasn't good enough. You needed more to sustain you. The meal didn't last. You had to eat again. Jesus is using this illustration to point to the other areas of our life, because there are other areas where we think if we can just get whatever it is, then we will be happy. Then we will be satisfied. We think that without this temporary bread, we will die. We think we could not possibly live, or at least not live happily without it. But Jesus comes and tells us something different. He comes in and says that without me, you will die. Without me, you will never be satisfied. Many of us are after things that will only offer momentary satisfaction. But Jesus is trying to get us to think past our physical needs, wants, and desires, and focus on what is eternally important. He's trying to get us to rearrange our lives. If I could sum up what Jesus is saying here, it's that Jesus is greater than everything or anything else we could ever want. So for us today, we really need to let go of just the bread and seek Jesus, pursue Jesus, and follow Jesus. And He will satisfy the desires of our hearts. Jesus wants the best for us. He wants us to live a life of peace, of joy, of happiness. He wants us to live a good life. Not because we have everything we want in life, but because we have Him, the true bread of life.